Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas time. And we get so wrapped up in shopping. Brian and I are going to go shopping this afternoon to try to get our stocking stuffers and stuff for the kids. And every year we get them crazy pajama pants. And so we're going to go find the craziest ones we can find and try to get those. And I'm off the rest of the afternoon, so it's a perfect time. So everybody's consumed with presents right now, you know. But we need to celebrate not the presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but the presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, right? We need to celebrate the Lord's presence. But I did a little Googling today. I wanted to know the top five worst Christmas gifts of all time. So, number one was a picture frame. Number two was underwear. An ugly Christmas sweater. Wall clock or alarm clock. I didn't think that was too bad of a gift, but that made the list. Made the list. Weighing scales. Ladies, how would you feel? See, somebody's calling me. Decline. Okay. How would you feel if your husband had this beautifully wrapped gift and you go open it and it's a set of scales? They would be in trouble. Hit them with the scales. Huh? Or a Jane Fonda workout video. Yeah. So that made the top five list of the worst gifts of all time. What was also on the, I did 10, and what was also on there was a chamber pot, and I thought, who buys somebody a chamber pot this day and time? But it was of all time. So it made the list. I thought that was a little weird. The top five best Christmas presents of all time, coffee was at the top of the list. Coffee. I like to smell it, but I don't like to drink it. But if you bought it for me, I would smell it. headphones or earphones, we know that's pretty popular, huh? Bed sheets, it was on the list. They are pricey, yes. Wristwatch, yeah, I could see that. And restaurant gift cards. So it was very comforting for me to know that I have been giving my parents and my in-laws wonderful presents for years now. Because that's what they get just about every year. Can't go wrong. You can always, everybody needs to eat. And then these are the top, well, not the top ones, but on the top 10 list. There were gifts that were on the men's list and the women's list. There was two different ones for 2019. And these three made both lists. So you could buy them for either one. A Kindle was the top one. Kindle. Yeah, so, you know, like an iPad. You can read on it and all that stuff. And I don't even know what a book is anymore because I always do everything on my iPad. So, but that's one of the top gifts for this year. Another one is a wristwatch. It's a top gift for this year. Everybody needs to know what time it is. Although, really, think about it, wristwatches are obsolete, aren't they? They really are. Yeah, because everybody looks at their phone this day and time to get the time. Huh? Oh, the Fitbit. Yeah, I've got a Fitbit. And this was so surprising to me. This was at the top of the list on both of them. It is a camera. A camera that spits out like the old-timey ones. It's like retro. That actually spits out the picture. Like, yes. It's coming back. Everything comes back. Yeah. So that was on the top list for 2019. Thought that was amazing. But at Christmas time, we get so wrapped up in going out and what we're going to buy and what the newest thing is. Now, your teenage kids can, or teenage grandkids can tell you what the newest thing is and what they want, you know, and it's all expensive. None of it's cheap. It all costs an arm and a leg. But they know all about it and how to use it and everything else before they ever get it. Yeah. But we need to be more concerned about Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, then Presence. And it's free. You don't have to go shopping for the kind of presents I'm talking about. It's free. But we get too wrapped up in the wrong kind of presents. Presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, don't last, but God's presence lasts forever. That is a gift we can give ourselves that he gives to us that we will never lose. It will never wear out. It will is as good today as tomorrow and the next day. That's the present we want. Scripture says, make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. We find joy in his presence. There are so many things people this day and time try to find joy in, and they always fall short. You know, we find joy in gifts. When somebody gives you a gift, aren't you happy, especially if it's something you really wanted? You find joy in it for a while, but it doesn't last for forever like God's presence does. And then when it says, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. People may be out to get you. People may say wrong things about you, but God hides you from those things when you're in his presence. He has a way of vindicating us sometimes when people do try to bring stuff against us. He can bring it to light. It says, because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. When we have integrity, God upholds us and sets him in his presence forever. Surely the righteous will praise your name and the upright will live in your presence. We need to be upright to live in his presence. And that's what we want to be. This scripture says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him everything we ask, anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. It's important that we love one another. You know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We should love one another. But we should go even farther than that. We should love all the mean people. And there are some mean people out there, right? People need to quit calling me now. There are a lot of mean people, but we still need to love them. I can't tell you, you know, I've told you before, but, you know, if somebody has a complaint at work, they come and get me, I get to talk to the mad people. So I can't tell you the number of times I've had to sit in my office for just a few minutes to pray, Lord, help me to love this person, even if they're mean and ugly and get hateful. Help me to love them anyway. Help me not to lose my cool. Help me to be nice. Help me to be kind. And sometimes you need that, because if you go into a situation in the flesh, it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So we've got to make sure that we are where we need to be. Lost my place. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commands. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him. Don't we want to live in him? And he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Now, I want to read these last two scriptures in the Amplified because I think it's very good. It says, this commandment that we believe with personal faith and confident trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, just as he commanded us. The one who habitually keeps his commandments, obeying his word and following his precepts, abides and remains in him, and he in him. By this we know and have the proof that he really abides in us by the Spirit who he gave has given us as a gift. The Spirit was given to us as a gift. We keep ourselves from God's presence by putting ourselves first. We live in a world where it's me first, whatever's best for me, that's what I want. You know, people, when there's a line, you go to Six Flags, people, I've been there once, I think only once, as I recall, when they first opened the gates in the morning. And people are running to their favorite ride because they want to be first in line. You know, we can't all be first. It's not always all about us. But we want it to be. We want it to be about us. When I first started this new position that I have at the center I'm at now, there was this mentality among the people who do the test, the techs who do your test if you go in to have an X-ray or an MRI or whatever, that everything had to be just so, because if not, it might make them 5 minutes getting off work. And if they were 5 minutes getting off work, that was encroaching on their time. So if a patient was a couple of minutes late, they got stuck in traffic, whatever, they would just cancel it. And I'm like, no. You know, you're in the medical field. You're here to take care of people. So if somebody's if somebody's 30 minutes late, yeah, you might, I mean, you know, that's not fair to the people behind them either when that happens. But, you know, a couple of minutes late, you want to cancel them? No, we're not doing that. So it's been really hard for them to get out of the mentality of this day is not about me. This day is about the patients that walk in the door that I'm taking care of. And that's been really a hard thing. And it's hard for us as humans sometimes because we want our way. We want to be first. But that's arrogance. And Scripture says the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. Can't be arrogant. You can tell what or who is most important in your life by how much time you give it. How much time do you give things? And I'm talking about your computer. Now, I took a computer course, and I'm still at the end of it. And what I thought this course was is I thought I would learn everything there is to know about Excel spreadsheets. I would learn everything there is to know about Word documents. But what it was computer 101. So I basically learned that there's a thing called a mouse. And there's a keyboard. And, you know, and dropping stuff in your keyboard is bad. And, you know, this kind of thing. I thought, well, this really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But there was a book that you had to read along with this course, and it was called The Digital Invasion. And I started reading it thinking, oh, boring, you know. But I started reading this book, and it was really fascinating. It talked a lot about multitasking and how that is actually bad for you. And every time I interview somebody, I ask them, well, how are you at multitasking? And they always say, well, I'm great, you know. But multitasking, according to this book, lowers your IQ 10 points, which is twice as much as marijuana use. That's what it said. And it talked about how it's better to focus on one thing at a time because you're actually more efficient when you do that. And too many people are sitting in front of the TV, watching TV, and you can't even enjoy the show because you're playing a game on your computer or on your iPad or on your phone. And how people don't communicate anymore because they're sitting in restaurants across from each other and they're on their phones. And nobody talks, you know. People sit around, but if they sit around the table to have dinner, the kids have their phones, if. Otherwise, they're in front of the TV, like Brian and I are just about every night, in front of the TV. And I have my iPad, so I'm, you know, my IQ is lower every day. But, you know, it was really fascinating. And it was talking about how much time people spend on these things. And it even brought out, because it was a Christian course, that a lot of times we spend time on our computers and we don't think about being in the presence of the Lord. It takes up our Bible reading time. It takes up our time, our prayer time. So it got me to thinking, what's the first thing I do in the morning? And we've talked about this in ladies' Bible study too, so this isn't like the first time I've ever thought about it. But you know, sometimes you have to rethink things over and over. So, what is the first thing I do in the morning? Well, I turn my alarm off, right? that I look to see what the weather is going to be like that day, so I'll know what to wear. And then, typically, I'll look and see what's going on Facebook. Right? Before I even get out of bed sometimes. So, I have made a pact, I'm telling Brian this so he can help me. I will still turn my alarm off. He will appreciate that, especially if he doesn't have to get up. And I will still probably see what the weather is, but I'm not looking at Facebook. I'm not looking at anything else until I have read my Bible and had my prayer time. Because what I have discovered is when you get into whatever else you're going to, if you don't put the first thing first, the first thing becomes the last thing, if it's even a thing at all during your day. So you have to be really careful. So think about, as we're talking, what are you putting first and what are you spending most of your time on, because that's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. So you can tell. Wait a minute. Oh, you can tell what or who is most important in your life by where it lines up on your list of priorities. Where is it? Is it the first thing? Is that the first thing you think about? You know, is the first thing you think about what your husband thinks, or maybe if somebody sees me, they're going to think I'm silly, or, you know, or is the first thing you think of, what does God think about this? Does God think that this is a good thing? Does God think that, you know, that, is he pleased with my actions or what I'm thinking or what I'm saying? That should be your, the top list of your priorities. It takes absolutely no effort for us to get away from God's presence. No effort. Because in the flesh, that's our go-to, is away from God's presence. You know, we hear the story of Samson. Samson was kind of arrogant. He was strong. He could, you know, tear a line of jaws of a lion apart, and I mean he was, you know, and he was a pretty arrogant fellow if you read the book. But the very last, this is the saddest scripture almost in the Bible, and it is, she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't No, because he wasn't spending time in God's presence. We can't afford to not know. We can't afford not to spend time in God's presence. So we've got to make sure that that is our top priority. We have to be intentional about being in God's presence. We have to say, okay, I've analyzed myself. And I see where I'm falling short. There's some areas in my life where I'm not where I should be. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what those are. And then you've got to set some priorities. And you have to be intentional. That was a new word. You have to be intentional about keeping those priorities straight. You have to make a list, make some rules for yourself. It's funny because at work, sometimes I'll make a suggestion and people take it as, oh, it's a rule, you know. Right, that Cindy said, so it's a rule. No, I was just suggesting you do something this way. I wasn't making it a rule, you know. But it wouldn't hurt for us to make some rules for ourselves, things that we don't break, that we, well, would keep us in line, because we're not going to naturally stay in line. We're just not. I like what Roger Lewis said when he was here for our missions convention. He said it's important to keep the main thing, right? And that just stuck with me. So being in God's presence has to be the main thing. That has to be the main thing for us. So we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. At Christmas, we think of presents. What we should be thinking about is His presence, is God's presence. We need to think about being in God's presence, being in the presence of our family. That's a good thing. Spending that time with our family and friends at this time. Or all the time, really, but especially at Christmas time, when really that's when everybody seems to get together. And then think of things that are keeping you out of God's presence. Really evaluate your own life, your own spiritual life. What is keeping you out of God's presence? Is it activities? Is it your computer? Is it the TV? Is it a newspaper? Do they still have newspapers? Okay. Is it the newspaper? I don't know. But we need to, you know, what is it? Is it a craft? Do you like to knit or do you like to embroidery or crochet or whatever, and you're on a project and you're so worried about getting done that you're not spending the time and the word like you should? It could be anything. I mean, absolutely anything. It could be golf. Just thought I'd throw that out there. You're welcome. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of these activities, but if you put it in the place of the Lord, then that's what makes it wrong. So I'm going to leave you with this scripture. It says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." Anything that might take God's place. So, Father, we just come before you. Father, I am so thankful for your Holy Spirit. I am so thankful that you help us, you lead us, you guide us. Father, I pray that we would become very, very intentional in our walk with you, that we would covet your presence, Father, not your gifts, but your presence, that we would just enjoy being with you, praying with you, speaking with you, feeling your presence around us as we go about our daily lives, listening to you speak into our hearts. Father, those are the things that we need to cultivate in our lives. So, Father, I've asked that you would just help us, each and every one of us. Lord, as we, and I will do it again, reevaluate again any other areas, Lord, that maybe I'm not meeting up to your expectations. Lord, I ask that you would help me to do that and help me to be the daughter that you want me to be, Father. And Lord, we just ask this, that you would help each and every one of us, especially at this time of year, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.